This year's theme for International Women's Day is Inspiring Inclusion. When we inspire others to understand and value women's inclusion, we forge a better world. And when women themselves are inspired to be included, there's a sense of belonging, relevance, and empowerment. One of the ways to do this is to elevate women and girls' participation and achievement in sport. Who better then to speak with me today than the CEO of Jersey Cricket, Sarah Gomersall, and Sports Development Manager at Jersey Sport and football player, Libby Barnett. In the conversation, which is kindly sponsored by Brooks McDonald, we discuss the barriers to women in sport and how to create an environment where women feel comfortable to pursue and excel in sports like cricket, football, and many others. So can we begin just by telling me a bit about yourself? So your name, what your role is, and when you took that up, and also, you know, the kind of sports you're involved in.
Yeah, sure. I'm Sarah Gomersall. I'm the CEO of Jersey Cricket. I've been on the board for about 3 and a bit years now, but a year ago I took on the role as CEO. So Jersey Cricket's first female CEO, which is obviously a good thing. Today we're talking about International Women's Day. And outside of my day job, I'm an improving cyclist. I try to run a little bit, but probably should run a little bit more. But more than on the pitch, you'd probably find me on the sidelines, to be fair.
Top supporter.
Yeah.
So I'm Libby Barnett. I'm the Sports Partnership Manager at Jersey Sports. I've been part of the organisation for about 2.5 years. And outside of this T-shirt, I've been involved in football for a long time, for all my sins, as a player, as a coach, as a committee member, both for my local club, Jersey Wanderers, a club I've been at since I was 6, and as part of the Jersey FA too, so it keeps me very busy.
Great. Well, thanks for coming in. And today we're going to talk about, obviously, International Women's Day. And the theme this year is Inspiring Inclusion. So that's, you know, ensuring the needs, the interests, the aspirations of women and girls, they're all valued and included. And one of the areas of the global campaign is elevating women and girls' participation and achievement in sport. So I thought who better to talk to than you two. And I thought we could talk a bit about how we can do this and sort of provide that environment for women and girls to sort of excel and succeed in this area. And when I say we, I mean not just women, because obviously it's everyone's role to kind of nurture that environment. So why don't we start quite generally just with your thoughts about how we can begin to create that environment here in Jersey and also more generally as well. So yeah, how do we look at that, making that environment where women feel comfortable to pursue sports and excel in them?
Generally what Jersey Sport are about increasing opportunities for islanders to get involved in sport and physical activity, not just hopefully for a short time or for the present, but this kind of lifelong engagement with sport and physical activity. So a huge part of that is inclusion and taking down these barriers that that are in place, whether they're well known or whether they're unconsciously there. Mm. How do we try and create these pathways for sport and physical activity to be more accessible for everybody in Jersey? So, yeah, I mean, everything that we do from kind of our intervention programs through the Move More brand, all the way up to organised sport, kind of which sits more neatly with my role, is about how do we get more islanders from lots of different demographics, from lots of different characteristics involved in sport and physical activity. So yeah, it kind of runs through. And yeah, personally, very, very passionate about getting girls and women, females in general, into sport and physical activity and kind of sustaining that. So
yeah, from my perspective, as we heard at the outset, I'm an administrator and an enthusiast, as opposed to somebody who's actively playing and an athlete in sport. But my background from corporate world shows and tells me that people are more engaged by 3 times if they feel like they're in a welcoming, inclusive environment. So I think it's on all of us to be able to set that up in whatever sport we're in. So in my case, it's cricket. So practical things about making it more welcoming, people knowing exactly what they're going to experience when they get there. A big thing, I think, for girls as well is knowing who's going to be there. Yeah. So that, you know, there's a familiar face, there's a friend. Quite a lot of people have talked to me this year about, well, I would come, but I'm not sure if, you know, I'm going to know anybody. I'd like to come, but I'd like to bring a friend. And I think it's those kind of things that we need to be talking to girls about to find out what is it that will make it more inclusive for you. And then we can put that in place.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's a really great point there, Sarah, is asking people what they want, I think, quite often. And sometimes I've even been guilty saying, okay, why don't we try out this? But actually, why don't I ask the girls who we're trying to target?
Yeah.
What would they like? What would get your interest, and then what would keep it? And then we try that and kind of involve them in that kind of initial planning stages, but also yeah. moving forward and yeah, hopefully get them involved, feel like they're included and yeah. have some ownership over it, and they're much more likely to stay involved, yeah.
That's great. I'm interested, you mentioned barriers. What kind of barriers are we talking about? Are they financial? Are they, you know, discriminatory? What sort of areas are you talking about there?
It's lots of barriers, and I suppose it depends on the individual. Yeah, we've got everything from financial barriers, so being able to access sports. Lots of organised sport organisations have kind of like season or annual subscriptions, and sometimes depending on the organisation, it might be that you pay that up front or you can pay it over a payment plan or monthly. That in itself may be the biggest barrier. So we've got some great examples of local sports organisations. The Rugby Club are a great one where they've got a hardship fund. So if a family either identifies themselves or they are identified perhaps through an external stakeholder, they can access financial support to ensure that any of their players, whether they're female or male, can access the sport and physical activity setting. So that's a really great example. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of barriers. It may be insufficient facilities. There may not be appropriate fit for purpose. We've seen, especially in team sports or male-dominated sports, I always use my club, Jersey Wanderers, as a good example. We kind of went from having one senior women's team, and we've now offering junior football to over 80 girls. Our infrastructure of our clubhouse is completely not fit for purpose. We have one female toilet and it opens out onto our bar. Mm. So there's things like that where...
Changing rooms.
Yeah, changing rooms. Yeah, separate toilets, separate showering spaces where the sport or the game or whatever the discipline is has evolved and grown, but the facilities or the infrastructure hasn't kept up or is unable to keep up. And usually that's due to a financial barrier. We would love to build something that's fit for purpose. We just don't have the finances within the club to do so. So yeah, that's just a couple of examples there, but there's lots. And I'm sure if you ask females who don't engage in sport and physical activity, they'll give you some really good examples of why they don't, or why they don't feel like they want to.
And I'm thinking maybe it might be something to do as well with visibility, because obviously this is something where, you know, I think in cricket and football are two sports where traditionally it was always men playing this mm-hmm. on TV, and I think maybe younger girls who were interested in the sport were maybe put off by that. And yeah, so this is changing, I think, and we see a lot more of female sports on television, on YouTube, all sorts of platforms like that. So Sarah, tell me a bit about how, when it comes to cricket, this is changing, and how, what the impact it has, seeing women cricketers on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because football right now has the biggest fan base amongst women and girls, but cricket is the sport which is growing most significantly out of all the sports. So there's a big opportunity for us there. And this year, for the first time, the Jersey women's cricket team have been invited to play in a European cricket championship, which will be televised on the European Cricket Network, it's called. So it'll be there on one of the Sky channels. It's on YouTube, and it's live scored as well. It's actually the tournament that the All Victorians are at now. So this provider's been delivering this for maybe 3 or 4 years, and then last year they introduced a women's one for the first time. The viewership was there, so they've doubled the amount of participation. And Jersey women are going to be going in December. So that's really good. And it's great from the point of view of role models. Everybody can see the person that they know and they want to aspire to be on TV. It's also great for the team as well, because they get to go to Spain in this instance, get a tournament environment, and it all builds up and helps with us getting more and more girls involved in the sport.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I'm always a massive advocate for visibility. Strong believer, if you can't see it, you can't be it. And we see that, I mean, sport and physical activity, we see it hugely, but we see it across the platform, whether that's people in government holding strong leadership positions, in healthcare, wherever it might be, that we want to change the narrative, change the dynamic, being reflective of society. And in sport and physical activity, we can see that across the board. I mean, I use football often as an example with my hat outside of work, that we now see female coaches, female officials, female physios. We see them. And just this weekend at the Emirates, there was an all-female groundskeeping staff, which was just like incredible. And actually, it is great that we're going, wow, that's amazing. But why are we saying, wow, it's amazing? That should just be the norm. And it's great that we're kind of finally now seeing it on a world, on a global stage. And hopefully that just continues to grow. But yeah, kind of back to your first point around visibility, I think it's absolutely essential. And we've got some really great examples here in Jersey, how we've got female role models, female leaders, and how we're really encouraging to kind of put them, not necessarily in the spotlight for those that do or don't like it, but just encouraging them to be present and to be visible, in the hope that that will inspire other people to do the same, and it works.
I think like International Women's Day is a good example of that, isn't it? I mean, it's a day, it's Friday, but all this week we're seeing the build up to it. And it's a vital week because it's one week out of 52 where people actually stop and think about women in sport or in their careers or in whatever area of their life. And we need to do more of that because particularly in, like, we're talking football and cricket predominantly, they are male dominated, historically male sports. And the more we can get that agenda shifted and you know, inspire inclusivity as the theme this year is on International Women's Day, the more ideas, the more we'll make progress. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I know some people are saying, why do you need an International Women's Day? But actually, it's making people stand up, talk, provide the visibility, provide that role models for people.
Yeah, it's a great chance to have conversations like this and sort of a bit of a brainstorm on where we are and where we can go as well. I think another moment for me, I know it wasn't International Women's Day, but with the World Cup last year, the Women's World Cup, that was a big deal, I think, for a lot of people who attended the screenings in Liberty Wharf. And is it sort of community events like that as well which make a difference, kind of the whole community welcoming women's sport and embracing it?
Definitely, I think twofold. It kind of comes back to visibility. I mean, we got the hype nationwide because the games were aired live on TV. They were so accessible, whether it's on social media, it was in the news, it was on the papers, that people were talking about it. And I've got some really lovely memories of that whole tournament, really, of sitting on the bus and you hear like two people behind you talk about the game. I turn around and it's two white, I'm presuming middle class men in their 60s talking about the Women's World Cup in a really positive light. I mean, that wouldn't have happened, or perhaps wouldn't have happened maybe 10 years ago. And that's because the hype, it was hard not to get excited by it. It was hard not to get involved. And the community events that like you mentioned down at Liberty Wharf, or just in the local pubs, people, what families getting together to watch it, kind of putting life on pause just because they wanted to get behind the Lionesses predominantly. But yeah, it's a really great example of how if we provide the opportunities, the platform for female sport and physical activity to be visible and to be present, that there's the appetite for it. It's absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
So what do they say? Build it and they will come.
Absolutely.
Put it on, they will watch, whatever it might be. It's really important.
And we saw that last year because we hosted an international World Cup cricket tournament in Jersey for the women. Jersey women played in it, they came fourth. But at every innings break, you saw young girls picking up their bat and ball and running on to play on the pitch. And that's happened, that's carried on happening in the sort of club game. And that used to be just what the boys did. The girls didn't do that. They would stay on the boundary edge. But now they're running in, they're saying, this is my space as well. So it's really good. And that's, you know, like you were saying, the conversation on the bus. That's what we want to just build up, get that energy and that engagement and keep it going.
Yeah, it's that kind of, the desire is there. I think it's then providing the opportunity and the space for that. You know, there's lots of, I think the Wednesday Night Football Club is really good as well now for just without pressure and encouraging people to go along and just play sports and enjoy it as well. Because would you agree it's not all about kind of, you know, pursuing it in order to kind of be a sportswoman, but, you know, just taking part and feeling comfortable to take part. Is that part of it too?
Definitely. One of my favourite things that Jersey Sport do with Jersey Cricket is on a Friday morning when we have all the toddlers playing up at Grainville, and you get everybody from grandma, granddad, right down to the little babies themselves. And I just think if these children can fall in love with it at such a young age and keep that going, how much, you know, that's going to be great for health, for sport, for just the general equity that comes from being included within sport and activity.
Yeah, I think the Toddler Play Initiative is a great example. I mean, it's very, very popular. And that kind of comes back to our ethos of we're wanting Islanders, wanted to change the culture, change behaviours around people engaging with sport and physical activity throughout their lives. And the younger that we do that, science and data would tell us, the easier it is if it becomes a habit. they will always do it. So Todd plays a great example. But you mentioned they're kind of around this. You've got sports changed, I think, where previously, years gone by, people used to absorb sport in a competitive nature. So it used to be leagues, cups, competitions. There's still very much a space for that, but people are wanting or demanding sport and physical activity to be a lot more on hand. They kind of pick it up and leave it. Mm. That's where you get these set of people signing up for annual subscriptions. They want to pay as you go and things like that. So it's great to see initiatives where sport has evolved with the times and provided these recreational offers. You mentioned Wednesday Night FC. There's no annual membership. The girls or boys, anybody can turn up and just pay as you go, and it's a bit of a kickabout, it's a bit of fun. You've still got people enjoying sport and physical activity, just in a completely different setting to an 11-a-side game where you have to turn up to training twice a week, you have to be there on a weekend. So it's great that we're now providing opportunities to both. We've still got a long way to come where we can ensure that sport continues to follow the trend and modernise, but that's a great example of how we kind of keep up with whatever's going on TikTok people want.
That modernisation is by nature inclusive, isn't it? Because you don't have to be a footballer as good as you are to go to Wednesday night football. You just need to be interested and get involved. And they've set it up to be inclusive. And I think that's something that other sports could do as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So far we've been quite optimistic about it. I maybe wanted to turn the tide slightly and sort of ask, you know, what work is there still to be done, I think, in Jersey? You know, is there enough space? Is there enough sponsorship? What more do we need to be doing to create this environment and to encourage people to take up a bat, you know, pick up a football and get involved? What can we do?
I think sponsorship, first of all, is a good one to highlight, because we're as cricket, we're very grateful to Brooks McDonald for the sponsorship that they give us. They've sponsored this podcast, which is great. Grateful to All Ireland Media for putting subtitles on it as well, so that it is inclusive to everybody. So I think having that balance and the commitment between sporting organisations, governing bodies, Jersey Sport, for example, and the government, and also corporate support as well, is key to being able to carry on to deliver everything that we do and to continue to innovate and continue to make sure that we are covering absolutely everything. So speaking with my cricket hat on, we've got an initiative with Lord Taverners coming out this year, which is wickets cricket and table cricket, which is specifically for people who are less able-bodied, so they can play on a table tennis table, and we can do more with the link between health and social well-being and being active through cricket. But I think it needs that continued engagement to keep it happening. And the challenge for me is that some of the people who are involved in organisation are not yet quite on the journey. I think that's, again, one of the reasons why we need some things like International Women's Day to keep it front and centre, because it's very easy to just carry on doing what you've always done. And it's going to take some brave decisions. If you think about cricket, one of our most successful teams is All Victorians. That's, by its very essence, a team from a boys' school. But we need to get more girls playing. So as the All Victorians club, someone brave will need to say, why don't we have a girls' side? And that means changing conversations that have been embedded in tradition for a long time. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's like you say, we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, I think I agree. It's about people being brave. And in Jersey, we've got this, the history is steeped in history and tradition and values, and that's completely transfers into sport, where things have always been done a certain way, and people are often scared, or they don't want to upset the narrative, they don't want to upset this 100-year tradition of what the club or the organisation was founded on. But if we're ever going to make progress and enter a different space and a different era for sport as a whole, then sometimes we do need to be a little bit brave and shake it up a little bit. So yeah, I completely agree with those points. And it's not always easy. I mean, when we talk about sport and physical activity in Jersey, we're predominantly talking about volunteer-led environments. So we're also, whilst we're asking people to be brave, we're asking them to be brave and give up a little bit more time or do something a little bit more than what they're currently doing. And that comes with its own challenges. But we do have people that are brave and that are willing to give up that time in Jersey. And if we, Jersey Sport, can provide support in order for them to do that, then absolutely we will. And organisations like Jersey Cricket and the other great organisations that we've got in Ireland, the support is there, the infrastructure is there, the enthusiasm is most definitely there. We've just kind of, got to be brave and get on with it.
And it is that bravery, I think, that you see in some people like yourself and sort of mentors and coaches. Is that a big part of this as well? It's sort of having those women and men sometimes, you know, who are going to be those figures to guide and help younger sportswomen to, you know, get more involved or maybe pursue where they wouldn't have pursued before.
Definitely. I think that's a massive positive. If you can get somebody who is just there as a sounding board, that person to share ideas with or to give you their experience, that's massive, isn't it? Particularly when you talk about needing to get off the island to participate in competitions or training, that's a very daunting thing. So I think there's a huge role for advocates, for mentors. I'm all for that.
Yeah, I think and those mentors, I think sometimes when we think about female sport, there's absolute strength in those mentors, advocates being female too. They can empathise and perhaps talk about some challenges that would be helpful in kind of moving forward. But also the allyship from our male colleagues and our male peers and male friends is equally as important. I've got a great friend and ally in Daniel Sevier at the Jersey FA, and he is a huge kind of driver of the female game, has been for a good 10 years. But he'll always recognise, say, actually, this can't be led by me anymore. I need somebody else, mm-hmm. and that person has to be female. And he'll create that space and be a supportive hand, but also be right behind going, yep, okay, this is what needs to happen, and isn't afraid to talk about being brave. He's always very happy to kind of put up the fight for whatever that might be. So, yeah, it's great. I mean, you definitely need those mentors, those allies the whole way through. And where appropriate, we want that to be a female voice, but also it's very important that we have that allyship from our male counterparts closely behind.
Mm. Yeah, definitely, because I think when you look at how many men are involved in sporting organisations, and it can be quite often the simplest thing that you need to be changed as a woman or a girl, but that takes strength then, doesn't it, to be able to voice that and to go to people who've been running it their way for so long. So having somebody who, you know, you can just know is there on your side, backing you, can be literally a game changer.
Yeah, and change usually comes from the top, doesn't it? It's that sort of figurehead which then feeds down those sort of decisions to make changes. We've seen that in all industries as well. I think in the finance industry as well in Jersey. I know that's not super relevant to sport, but you know, there are some women that take on those senior roles and then feed that change down. So it's really interesting to see. I was thinking about Serena Kirsten, because obviously, you know, she's been off island and she's this huge netball figure, and now she's come back and she's feeding all that experience and knowledge into the Jets, who are doing really well at the moment. So that's lovely to see, and sort of with yourselves as well, kind of taking on those roles. I wanted to ask maybe a more personal question about what challenges you've maybe faced in your time in sport, you know, in cricket and in football, and, you know, what were some of the biggest challenges that you personally faced and how you overcame those or what you did about them?
I think coming into cricket out of corporate life, It was a big personal step anyway, to make such a career change. And I came in quite naive, I think, really, expecting that, you know, the culture would be there. And it really, really tested my resilience in a way that I didn't expect it to. So I was very lucky to have a supportive board who are 100% behind me. But I still had that imposter syndrome when I got in there, thinking, actually, should so-and-so's dad have got this job, because they're telling me they should have got this job. So now I'm thinking, it is different, and there is a lot of things to do. And some people were doubting whether I could do it or whether I should be the right person. And before I started, I was thinking, right, I've got all this experience, I've loved this game, my earliest memories are about this game, I've played it, I've given everything to it. And now I'm sat here and I'm wondering, oh, right, okay. Some people think I can't do this, and then you flip it and then you turn, right, okay, I've got this job because I've got all these qualities that I can bring. And but it takes a great deal of mental strength to do that, and I thought, actually, I had that, but I still had a little bit of a wobble. So I don't know if that entirely answers your question.
No, it does, and I get what you mean. It's that sort of like self-doubt, I guess, which imposter syndrome.
I think, yeah, there's an element of confidence, isn't there? And I suppose it's trying to be comfortable in a space that sometimes feels a little bit uncomfortable, whether that's you're the only female in the room or standing up for something that you're aware that maybe nobody else may be standing up for, and kind of, yeah, that bravery that we talked about earlier. We had the football hat on now. We had the Marathi in Guernsey last year. And women played in the morning, men played in the afternoon. That's quite traditional. And actually, Dave Kennedy, who's the CEO of Jersey FA, said, right, it's back in Jersey next year. I'm really keen to kind of put the women on in the afternoon game, change the narrative, be the spotlight. What do you think? And we said, actually, we quite like playing in the morning. It means we can relax and then, but really appreciate that feedback. But he kind of said, like, look, what else? Reflect from last year's Marathi. What do the girls want? And I said, we don't want anything bigger or better. We just want the same. And I said, these are two small things that we picked up on. And the girls, as kind of the wider squad, picked up on. I said, they're tiny little things, but to us, they made a real difference. So we finished our game. We had a cold buffet. Lovely, fantastic, really grateful. The men finished their game. They had hot food, hot chili. And we thought, why did we get cold sandwiches and you got hot chili? The medals, we had a bronze and the men had a gold or a silver version. I was like, it's actually harder to do two different things. It's easier just to double it. So I said to Dave, like, we don't want anything. Hopefully we're not asking for too much, but we're just asking for the same. We just want the same. And he was, kind of taken aback by that, thinking, gosh, I'm saying you can have what, well, no, you can't have whatever you like. Yeah. Obviously funding's a factor, but kind of saying, it was quite humbling, I suppose, that we're just asking for the same and just want to be treated the same. And that to us should be really easy. I appreciate in practice sometimes it's not always so, but that's all we're really asking for sometimes.
Yeah, and it's that thing though, isn't it? That change comes out of those moments of discomfort, and it's being strong enough to navigate through those. And that's where allies come in, like you said before, isn't it? I mean, somebody there in your corner who gives you that confidence that you perhaps just wobbling with it at that time.
That's
really interesting. I think because it is creating the space which is just the same space that men already have. I think it's that interesting one where people sometimes think International Women's Day, we're sort of asking for more, or you know, more than what men have, or this kind of extra allowance or something. But I think it is just that equality and being seen the same and getting the same kind of financial support and visibility. And are there any sports in particular that you think need a lot more of that? Because obviously you come from football and cricket, which are relatively traditional sports that everyone knows. But are there any that you think, you know, there are women that would love to do them, but there's just no capacity at all in the island? Or there's kind of, I often think like motor racing is a good example of this. You know, that's something that, you know, in F1 these days, there's not even a single female driver, you know, but people don't really question it too much. But are there any other sports that you think in Jersey need like a lot more work?
I wouldn't point a sport out more than others. We've got lots of sports that really want to focus on increasing their female participation. Archery is a good one, table tennis are really kind of targeting, and unapologetically so, saying, look, we've got a great membership, but we want to increase our female participation. And they're doing that by targeting these groups in places where they know that females hang out. So whether that's targeting Bowley School as an example, or specific youth groups, or whatever it might be. So yeah, I would say just generally across the board, I'm sure you... confident perhaps with the exception of netball, because they're facilitating a huge demographic of our female population, but by virtue they're also wanting to introduce mixed netball and drive that initiative, so creating the equality on both sides of the lens. But yeah, quite confident that perhaps you wouldn't find a sport in Jersey that doesn't go, oh, absolutely, we want more sport, more female members, because we know data shows us that as females we're heavily outnumbered by our male counterparts. So sport and physical activity in general.
Yeah, that's great. It's kind of like across the board, everyone's making an effort. Today is International Women's Day, and how are you going to be marking this? Have you got events on? Are you going to celebrate it in any way?
Well, I was planning to do another in-person event, everybody getting together, and then Libby spoke to me about the one that you're hosting in partnership with the government. There's several other ones going on in the Royal Yacht, other organisations, and all these invites kept coming in. I was like, well, you can't be everywhere, can you? So why don't we do something which is genuinely inclusive? Let's do a podcast. Let's get it out there so that anybody can attend whenever they want to attend. So this is my contribution this year to International Women's Day on behalf of Jersey Cricket.
Thanks for inviting me. and we will, as well as being here today, we are also at the Radisson. Jersey Sport are hosting an International Women's Day special event. Over the course of the year, we host these cross-sport conversations, kind of networking events anyway, and today we're looking at a lens of female sport. Really excited. It's kind of really informal setting, great opportunity. We've got around 70 people attending from all different sports and physical activity backgrounds in Jersey, so great to meet lots of sport enthusiasts and those who are really passionate about increasing participation with females. We've got a panel, three different sets of speakers, Serena Kirsten from the Jersey Netball Association, Jennifer Neal, who actually is a Jersey Sport employee, but also kind of wears a separate hat outside of the organisation, focusing on new and expectant mothers and engaging them in sport and physical activity. And then the Jersey Ladies Golf Development Group, who are hot off the press from being recognised at the England Golf Awards as the Women and Girls Trailblazers for 2023. So yeah, got kind of like three really different lenses and skill sets and focuses for each of those panel speakers. So it'd be really great to hear from them about what they've been doing to increase, encourage, promote female activity and sport, physical activity here in Jersey. So yeah, I'm hoping it'll be a good event. I'm hoping it all goes smoothly.
Sounds great. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Yeah, yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Thank you to Sarah Gomersall and Libby Barnett for joining me on International Women's Day. And thank you to Brooks McDonald for sponsoring this episode of the Bailiwick podcast. Find out more about the Inspiring Inclusion campaign at internationalwomensday.com. Keep up with all the latest news by visiting bailiwickexpress.com or reading our sister publication, the JEP. More next week from me, Kelly Frost, and the rest of the team.